And it's always good to welcome Paul McCartney to town. He's coming this weekend. More frequently, we're happy to welcome our next guest onto the show, one of the official economists of the Frank Beckman Show from the Mackinac Center, senior economist David Littman, joining us again. David, how are you?
Just fine. Thank you, Frank.
Good of you to join us. I hope you're staying cool during this nice summer that we're having so far, a lot better than a couple of years ago when it was so cold and rainy. So we're happy.
I escaped. I'm in Tucson.
Are you really? Where it's only a dry heat, right?
Yeah, it would have been dry, except I brought with us a whole lot of humidity. We had a torrential thunderstorm last night, and so now we have the humidity to go with it.
They didn't have, in Tucson, they didn't have that dust storm they had in Phoenix, though, did they?
No, not at all. No, it was a good, clear rain, arroyo producing rain.
All right, let's talk about what's going on in Washington, which is a different kind of storm we're witnessing, one that involves the deficit, raising the debt ceiling, and arguments over how to do it. And I wonder, given your history with Washington and these issues, your observations on what you're seeing right now and the way that Republicans seem to be split on how to approach it and the president's insistence on higher taxes.
Well, Washington is distracting us terribly from the nuts of the issue. There's a terrible lack of focus, Frank, on spending. What's systematically omitted from this talk about debt ceiling and repayments and taxes is the focus on spending. If you don't look at spending, you've missed everything. And we're just doing business as usual in Washington the way they've always done it. Spending is the tax. What government spends today but fails to tax or borrow for today becomes the tax and the debt burden on generations tomorrow. And what scares me the most, Frank, is this is the last time we're going to have to focus purely at this juncture on spending. The revenues will take care of themselves if the economy is growing. And this is what scares me. It is not. Employment is not growing. Productivity is not growing. The GDP growth, real terms, is not there. So our economy no longer grows strongly enough, the private sector, or consistently enough, to cover the current or the prospective size of the public sector. Government's too big, it's too wasteful, it's out of its league, it's crowding out, it's crushing what's left of our private sector.
How does it do that? In a thumbnail, how does government crowd out the private sector?
24% increase in spending over the last 2 years. How's that for starters?
Because it's taking that money out of the private sector, and
yeah, look what's happened to private sector job creation. It no longer exists. Only government remains at the size or bigger, and I'm talking about all levels of government, but especially the federal government. If you look and saw what Canada did when they were in the same situation back in the 90s, they got serious. It's kind of like Chris Christie. They cut back 15% to 20%. On the size of government, and they had a surplus in 3 years.
And so cutting spending, as you recommend, will do it. Now, you also made a comment a moment ago when you said this may be our last chance. What do you mean?
Well, this is it. When, as it is now, the debt, that is the accumulation of all these annual deficits between what we spend and what revenue comes in, if these total accumulated debts, they're already at the size of our GDP. That means we no longer have the ability to cover the interest without cutting into the rest of what is federal spending that is wasteful. And the inability of Washington to focus on those cuts, 10-15% or moving back to spending levels of 2008, means that we're really running on funny money produced by Ben Bernanke at the Federal Reserve, and we keep running inflation rates, which of course reduces the private sector's ability to grow or to invest. People wonder, hey, how come we're not seeing the revenue growth? Because we're not seeing the private sector, the creative sector, growing.
Have you studied the House version of cut, cap, and balance that was passed, David? And is that an effective way to attack this debt that we've accumulated that's over $14 trillion for 10 years?
Yes, I have, to the extent there's any structure, text, or draft to what they're suggesting. But, again, This is a dereliction of duty, Frank. They're not focusing on the only thing that matters, and that's spending. Where in that debt, so-called cut, cap, and balance, you just cut out the cap and balance. You got to cut first. You can't promise there'll be spending cuts in the future in accordance with tax manipulations or a balanced budget. There are no teeth to that. If there were teeth, then the same thing that would happen to you or to me or to a private business leader, they'd go to jail for not presenting a budget in 800 days. I mean, just try that if you're in the public, in the private sector. So there's no symmetry. And this should tell the American people, I think it explains why many, not just Tea Party members, are mad, because they see these elites ruining not only us, but the next generations. And these people collegially are feathering their own nests at our expense and those of our future progeny.
So even when they eventually come to this heralded bipartisan agreement that everyone is talking about in Washington, hold the champagne is what you're saying.
Yeah, and there won't be that much champagne, or it'll be imported with borrowed money, because they fail to focus purely and simply on cutting today. Forget about promises about tomorrow. There is no tomorrow in real terms. The private sector is being crushed, and you'll see it in the future. I expect a double dip. You've seen it in the employment figures, in the hiring prospects, and everything else. If we can't get the message now, when are we going to get it? Don't expect Washington to get it. It now is incumbent on the electorate to wake up and to put these people's jobs to the fire.
David, always appreciate talking with you. Travel safely.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Stay
all
cool. Talk again soon. David Litman, the chief economist at the senior economist at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy.